I was about 8 or 9 years of age, which is a very long time ago. I used to go to a Sunday school in Tolworth in Surrey. It was a Brethren Sunday school. And I wanted to learn enough verses so that I'd be granted a Philip Lord Wharton Bible. It meant that I had to memorise 2 verses of scripture every week to the Sunday school superintendent. And some of these set verses were from John chapter 10. My father, who wasn't a Christian, used to make me recite them every week for nearly 6 months. And sure enough, I did gain a Bible at the end of that time. My father, as some of you know, didn't become a Christian until the age of 79. The Lord wonderfully saved him. And he was very antagonistic toward anything to do with Christianity. And he would say it himself. And he did say it himself at his baptism when he was 80. But he did tell me one thing. He said, those verses that I taught you, Ray, and that we went over, they stayed with me right throughout my life. And I could memorize them and I could recite them. And for 8 more years that he was allowed to live on this earth, the Lord wonderfully restored unto him the years that the locusts had eaten. And therefore I want to draw your particular attention tonight to one of these verses. And it's in the 9th verse of John chapter 10, where the Lord Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, this is the 3rd of 7 I Am declarations that are recorded in John's Gospel. And they all point to the absolute unique identity and purpose of the Lord Jesus. I am the door. Not am, I am a door. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when you come to appreciate this, you don't want an alternative. I say this graciously. Who wants Islam when you have the Lord Jesus? Who wants Buddhism when you know the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Here the Lord Jesus is not only our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who leads us to the sheepfold. But he is the only door, the unique door by which we may enter and by which we may be saved. We know only too well John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we need to know something about sheep. And we need to know something about shepherds in the first century in order that we might understand the wonderful words that are recorded here by our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Of all animals, sheep are the most helpless. They are the most helpless. They wander from place to place, seldom if ever looking up, and they spend almost their entire day grazing. They're incapable of finding their way to the fold, even when that fold is in sight. And they are utterly helpless against predators. If a wolf enters their pen, they won't defend themselves. And therefore sheep are totally dependent on the shepherds. And shepherds would lead them. And as night fell, they would lead them to the protection of the sheepfolds. Now in our Lord's day, there were 2 kinds of sheepfolds or pens. One kind was a kind of public sheepfold. It was found in the cities and it was found in the villages. It would be large enough to hold several flocks of sheep. The sheep pen would be in the care of a porter or a doorkeeper, whose duty it was to guard the door to the sheep pen during the night and admit the shepherds in the morning. And the shepherds would call their sheep, and each of the sheep knew their particular shepherd's voice, and he would lead them out to pasture. But out in the country, it was totally different. The shepherd would be on the move with his flock, and the sheep were often kept in circular stone sheepfolds. They would sometimes be kept in a cave, with the shepherd guarding the entrance. And frequently the shepherd would top the walls with branches, thorny branches, and they would help to keep the sheep in and discourage wild animals. And then the shepherd would keep the sheep from the wild animals by laying across the opening to the fold. He would sleep there, and he would literally become the door of the sheep. So when the Lord Jesus was stating this wonderful fact, "I am the door, because I am the good shepherd," the people that were listening would know exactly what he meant. He truly is the door of the fold. The Lord Jesus was stating here quite clearly, "I am he. I am the one by whom salvation will come to anyone." He is stating the uniqueness of his glorious person. "I am the only way of access to the only true and living God, who is my Father in heaven." And the Lord Jesus gives a very wide promise. He gives a glorious and an amazing invitation here. He says this: "If anyone enters by me." How gracious, how loving that is. "If anyone enters by me." Have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come in all your need? Have you responded to this most glorious and most gracious invitation? If I were to come to your home, I would have to come through the door, and I would not be in your house until I've come through the door. I would either be in your house, or I will be outside of your house. And the Lord Jesus said, if any man would be welcome, any man would be received, any person, young, old, would be received through the door. "You are to come as you are, for none will be turned away." You know, when you go to a supermarket today, you have to look for the green light and see if the green light is on. And if the green light is on, you can enter in. And then it says no entry without a mask. Well, my friends, I want to tell you, there's always a green light. There's always a green light of the gospel. But you must come in without a mask. You must come in as you are. There's no cover-up with the Lord Jesus. He knows exactly what you are. He knows exactly who you are. And he's ready and willing to receive anyone who will be prepared to come. There was an old preacher called James Smith, and he preached at New Park Street Chapel just before C.H. Spurgeon. And this is what he says: "The cross, it places all upon a level, the harlot and the modest maiden, the thief and the honest man, the poor and the wealthy, the illiterate and the learned, and presents salvation on the same terms, requiring all alike to rest on the finished work of Jesus, and as now allows no flesh to glory in his presence. This is very offensive to the pride of man." Some people have a mat by their front door. Welcome. A welcome mat. And the Lord Jesus, as the door of the sheep, gives a mighty and a wonderful and a glorious welcome to all who will come, to all who will respond, to all who will seek, whatever they are, whoever they are, whatever they've done. And what we have in our text is a wonderful reassurance too. For he says here, he will be saved. Not he might be saved, or he could be saved, but he will be saved. Saved from sin. Saved from death. Saved from hell. But saved wonderfully to share Christ's glory. Saved and to become a new creation. All things passing away. Behold, all things becoming new. A deliverance from dangers and a protection from ravenous wolves. Now the sheep in Palestine will go out to the field in the morning, and they will come into the fold at night. There will be grass in the field and fodder in the fold. They will be under the particular care of the shepherd. Matthew Henry puts it like this: in public and in private, they have the word of God to converse with, by which their spiritual life is supported and nourished, out of which their greatest desires are satisfied. They are replenished with the goodness of God's house. And we are here even tonight, that we might feed upon the fodder of the word of God, that we might know more of the green pastures of the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But have you come in, my friend? Have you come in? You say, but I'm too bad. I'm too awful. I'm too vile. No, there are no exceptions. If any man would enter in. And it could include you. And it does include anyone who will be prepared to come. But also we have to be reminded here that we are to beware of thieves and robbers. A thief wants to take away something that belongs to somebody else. And a robber wants to do the same. When the Pharisees and scribes were around the Lord Jesus, they were terrible. They were full of their own self-righteousness. And the Lord Jesus had to expose them. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, he said, "For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." They put heavy burdens upon the people's shoulders. They deprive them of the sincere milk of the word. And you know, when Paul the Apostle was saying his farewell to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 29, he said this: "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." We have to be very careful in our day of people who would draw us away from the sincere milk of the word. And of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, he had to say, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Beware of smooth-talking people. "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." And then the Lord Jesus went on to say, in verse 21 of Matthew 7, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, what solemn words, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And we have to be discerning people in our day. Not judgmental, but discerning. There was an Anglican evangelical in the last century called T.C. Hammond, and he wrote a great book called In Understanding Be Man. And he makes a point in his book that all deviations from biblical Christianity can be traced to a low view of sin and the effect of sin upon the human race. Look at the cults, they have a low view of sin. Look at the modernist and the liberal, he has a low view of sin. And we must be very careful in our day, for there are many predators around, and many of God's people can so easily be taken in. But we know that every believer is one of his sheep, and he is the good shepherd. Now, shepherds had a very poor press in our Lord's day. They were not known for their truthfulness. They could not give evidence in a court of law because they were known as dishonest men. One of the writings of one of the rabbis of the day said that no mercy was to be extended to a shepherd. But here is a different shepherd. Here is the good shepherd. And what does this good shepherd do? Well, he lays down his life for the sheep. A shepherd may lose his life for the sheep, out to rescue them, but he wouldn't lay down his life for the sheep. But with the Lord Jesus, it was a voluntary act. He laid down his life for the sheep. Isn't that heart-melting? Isn't that absolutely wonderful? Isn't that glorious that this amazing person who is the door would come into this world under the plan and purpose of his Father and lay down his life for the sheep and to shed his sinless blood on Calvary? We think of the Lord Jesus being the rock in the wilderness. We think of the Lord Jesus being the angel of the covenant. We think of the Lord Jesus being the great high priest. The Lord Jesus being the propitiatory sacrifice, the prophet of his people, the king of his people. And being the only way by which anyone can enter into his fold. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What do sheep have that come through the door? Well, Jesus states it in the second half of the 10th verse. I have come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious? To have abundant life. It is a glorious life. It is an amazing life. It is a wonderful life. In other words, this abundant life is a joyful life. It's a life that's precious and wonderful and amazing. And with it comes eternal life. For Jesus says in the 28th verse of this chapter, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. What more can you want? Security now, and eternal life to come. The Lord Jesus doesn't deal with perhapses and maybes, but absolute certainties. And if you are a believer here tonight, you are the most secure person in the world, and you have been given abundant life, superabundant life. What do I mean by that? You have been loved with everlasting love. The incalculable riches of Christ have been poured into your soul. You've been adopted into the family of heaven. You can call God Father, something that would have been an amazing revolution in Jesus' day. And you're his child, and you're under his special protection, the special protection of the Good Shepherd. And you can live not for time but for eternity, here for a season, then above. What an amazing thing it is to have the unsearchable riches of Christ. And therefore you can say with David of old, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What a wonderful thing to be under the shepherd, the amazing shepherd of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to know him, and we are to love him, and we are to follow him. And we are to be like him. We are to be meek and lowly in heart. What a privilege to be under his care. When the Lord Jesus was born, you remember, there were shepherds looking after their flocks by night in Bethlehem, and the shepherds' fields outside of Bethlehem. And what happened? Well, the whole of heaven was alight. And a great cry was, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." For here was one who had been born into this world, according to John 1, full of grace and truth. And therefore, if this one who had been born into this world was full of grace and truth, those who had revealed unto them the birth of the Lord Jesus were those who were in great need of this grace. The world would have passed those shepherds by. The world would have had no time for them, certainly not the Pharisees and the Sadducees. "But unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." And here is a foretaste of that grace and that truth. And they were going to come under the ownership of the one who is the great shepherd. And therefore, if you are a believer, you are precious to him. For he purchased you, and he purchased me at Calvary. It was a priceless purchase. He loved us more than his own life. And he took hold of our sin and was prepared for the Father to punish him for sin that we had done, and to shed his sinless, precious blood, that the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus, a pardon received. And we are under his care. We are under his care, and under his concern. Our persons, our life, our health, our comforts, our safety are committed to his care. There may be people here tonight who are going through a very difficult patch in their lives. Well, let me remind you that you have the care of the most loving shepherd that there has ever been. When John Newton was coming toward the end of his life, he suffered a great deal from ill health. It is my view that if people read more of John Newton and his approach to other believers outside of his particular group, there wouldn't be so many divisions among us. And people would come up to John Newton. He was my favourite character in church history, by the way. And say to him, "How are you today, John?" And he would say, "I'm as well as God wants me to be." We have to remember that when we're called upon to go through difficult circumstances with our health. And there are times like Paul the Apostle when we have to say, I don't know what God is doing, I'm perplexed. But not in despair. And he searches and cares for his sheep wherever they are. He loves them. And he longs for that day when you and I will be with him forever. He longs for that day when we'll be seeing him face to face. And we'll be telling that story, saved by grace. He feels for us and understands us. Indeed, we have that lovely passage in the book of Isaiah where he takes the lambs into his arms. You've seen the lambs at lambing time in the countryside? You see the shepherd taking the lambs into his arms. He's very gentle. He feeds them. He cares for them. And he watches over them. And his eye is ever upon them. And one day he is going to present everyone to his Father with exceeding joy. And therefore, my dear friends, in these days, let me exhort you as I exhort myself to live close to him. Seek daily to have communion with him. Now, I know that can be very difficult if you have a lively family. With children around you, I know that can be exceedingly difficult. And I know it can be exceedingly difficult if you're the only person living in a totally non-Christian home. I know about that. When I became a Christian, the only place I could go for privacy was literally the closet. But find a place where you can have communion with Christ. It may be out in the countryside. It may be going out for a walk. But find a place. Find a sacred place. A place where you want to meet with Christ. Not that we believe in sacred spots, but a particular place where you can meet with Christ. And when you can open up your heart to the Saviour, he is your shepherd. He cares for you. He laid down his life for you. He bore your sin away in his own body on the tree. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. And one day he's going to present you to the Father with exceeding joy. Cleave to him. It's one of the great privileges of being one of his flock. And always remember that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He never has to say, I wonder where my sheep is today. The shepherd will have to think, I wonder where my sheep are today. He knows where everyone is. And he cares for them. And you can put your head on the pillow tonight and you can know that you're under the care of the greatest shepherd that there has ever lived. You remember how the letter to the Hebrews finishes? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, now may the God of peace who brought our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And then you remember, no doubt, that great passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. It refers to the elders. And Peter says that the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. He wasn't the Pope, he was a fellow elder. And also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. That's a high responsibility. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. He is the chief shepherd. And one day he's going to appear. And it will not only be a crown of glory, I don't believe, for elders alone. It will be for every believer. And one day we will see him. And we will see him as the door. We will see him as our guardian. We will see him as our carer. And there will be no sin easily besetting us. Won't that be good? No sin easily besetting us. There will be no predators around then. If they hate me, said Jesus, they will hate you. And all will fade away. And what a wonderful thing it will be to look upon the face of this good shepherd. The good shepherd. The great shepherd. The chief shepherd. The most glorious shepherd. And know that ultimately the whole flock will be complete. And I want to say this, there'll be no names and sects and parties for. Thou, O Christ, art all in all, said Wesley. And here we are. And how thankful we are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Everybody's getting excited tonight for the football, aren't they? But we have something far better than that. We have the one who is the good shepherd. I thank God for football, isn't it? Provided it doesn't become an idol. And an idol is a good thing that becomes an ultimate. It doesn't become an idol, it can be a good thing. But we have something far greater, far more wonderful and far more glorious. And we are on the victory side. And we know that ultimately the end is not in the hands of man, but it's in his hands. And one day the good shepherd is coming again for his sheep, for every single one that he purchased at Calvary is coming again. Doesn't that excite your heart? Doesn't that warm your heart? Doesn't that delight your heart? I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. Thank God we have a wonderful shepherd, a glorious shepherd, the good shepherd. But that shepherd is also the door, and he's there. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Let us all pray. Our glorious God, we thank you tonight for the one who is the door. We thank you tonight that the door is also the good shepherd. And we thank you that he lays down his life for the sheep. No shepherd would do that. He might lose his life for the sheep, but he wouldn't lay down his life for the sheep. But we have one who did. And we thank you for it. And we pray, O God, that by your grace that we might live near this shepherd. For he said, this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Oh God, make it our ambition by your Spirit to know Christ more and to serve him better. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.